Okay, thank you to Aria and Ariel for inviting us in. You should continue to use your beautiful new home for Torah learning and all good things for Jews to get together. Okay, so tonight let's get up to the Hishtadlis side of things. I thought we were going to get a little bit more even into the whole Bitachon versus Hishtadlis debate and question, to what degree does a person need to do Hishtadlis. But let's just talk about tonight, as the Chovos HaLevavos does, why is it that we need to do Hishtadlis? There seems to be a metzias of Hishtadlis. It seems to be a reality that you can't just sit around waiting for Hashem to take care of everything. Again, exactly where the line is, have I done enough of my own effort? To what degree should I just throw everything onto Hashem? Hashleicha l'Hashem yahavcha, like the Pasuk says, throw your burden onto Hashem, is a good question. Maybe next week, maybe. Next week I think is going to be our last shiur for the summer. We have a lot to finish up. But let's try to understand at least two approaches as to why Hashem made it that we have to be busy, that we have to be mishtadel, that we have to put in our own efforts. Right? If I want to enjoy this drink, I have to bring it to my lips and drink it. And that's an example that he's going to give. I can't just sit back and let Hashem create reality for me, and we need to understand why that is. Okay, so let's start. Source number one. This is still the third parak of the Chovos HaLevavos in the Shaar Bitachon. And he writes as follows. V'kasher nistakil b'tzorech ha'odim l'saviv u'lizgagel l'gmar inyanav. If we think about why it is necessary for a person to be busy making it happen for himself. Right? L'saviv u'lizgagel, to be moving around, to keep the wheels spinning, so to speak. You have to go to work. If you want to be healthy, you need to exercise. If you want to be nourished, you need to put food in your body. The basic things that we need to do that don't happen on their own. Right? Ligmar inyanav. To get the job done. To make things happen for yourself. Nimtza eyu baros ha'ayin. We see that that's the reality, that it has to be that way. Ki atzorech el amazo. We'll start very pashut. If a person needs food, because you're hungry. So what do you need to do? Kishayusam lefanav ha'maychol karo elo. When food has been properly placed before you, if you're not going to move the pieces, namely your arms and your lips and your teeth, in order to consume it, to lift it to your mouth, that was a good demonstration, Dana, very good, that's excellent, and proper ishtadlis. If you're not going to pick up your fork and put a piece of chicken in your mouth, right, then lo yishbor ra'avo, no. Then your hunger will not be satisfied. Okay, so we get that. I don't think we need to expound upon that. Everyone's doing a great job so far tonight. If a person is thirsty, he wants to drink, so then he needs to make it happen. He needs to raise the cup to his lips and drink the water.
I'll demonstrate.
Okay, that's an excellent demonstration. It's not water, but it's a good enough. The kol shekein im yimanah ha-maychel mimenu. So now, okay, so that's a very simple example. Right, so Aryeh and Ariel put out a beautiful spread for us, and we're taken care of. That's great. We thank Hashem as well by making a bracha. What happens if I don't have food present in front of me? So I have to do a little more. Again, common sense. Im yimanah ha-maychel mimenu, if the food is withheld from you, ad she'yizgalgel l'takno b'tchina v'lisha. Let's say the food is not prepared. Let's say I need to grind the kernels of wheat, and I need to knead the dough. Va'afia, and I need to bake the dough. Or whatever other process is necessary in order to produce the food. Sometimes I need to do even a bit more. Sometimes a person needs a bit more effort. Let's say I don't even have the raw materials in my house to bake, to cook. I need to go to the store and purchase it, bring it home, prepare it, cook it, and then eat it. And even more than that, what if I don't even have money? So I have to get a job. I have to make money. I have to then go to the store and purchase what I need. I have to then bring it home, prepare it, cook it, eat it. Right? So there's many shlavim, so to speak. There's many layers of degrees to what degree a person needs to be mishtadel. If he doesn't have the money, that he can't afford it, he can't purchase it. He needs to spin many wheels, so to speak. He needs to go through an extensive process. Much more than we mentioned previously. She is stacker b'damim in order to be able to make those purchases, to acquire the money. He needs to barter, he needs to exchange things for other things. This is life. A very simple description of life. Okay, So we all take that for granted. The question is, why did Hashem make it that way? Why did Hashem make it that man needs to be mishtada? There's a lot of answers we could give for that, and Mechobos Levavos focuses on two. Va'ila, the end of source number one, second to last line. Va'ila asher ba'avura chiev haboreas adam lichazer ulisabev al sivos hateref. The reason that God made it of necessity that man should go around and acquire whatever he needs to sustain himself, ushar mashu tzarech elav, and whatever else he needs. We're not just talking about food. Right? Needs, any type of needs, whether it's clothing, whether it's emotional needs. The person has to put in effort to get the things that he needs. So why is that so? Explains the Chovas Levavos l'shnei panim, for two reasons. Now before we get into the two reasons, I thought to myself in preparing this year, why is that so? I mean, what comes to mind as to why we need to make an effort? And could we imagine it being any other way? So the first thing I think we think about is the fact that it wasn't always this way. Meaning the fact that there's these varying degrees of effort that a person needs to make, sometimes many layers of effort that a person needs to make, it used to be much simpler. When I say used to be, I mean, began Eden Mikada, the way it could have been before man sinned. If you look in source number two, let's just remind ourselves, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is handing out curses to the Nachash, and to Chava, and to Adam, Adam is told, listen, you listen to your wife, okay? Usually we say that's a good thing. This particular case, it wasn't a great idea. And you ate from the tree, which I told you not to eat from. And now, Arura ha'adama bavurecha, the ground is going to be cursed, life is going to be hard, it's going to be a struggle. Kol yimei chayecha, you're going to be struggling to make it happen. Kotz v'dar dar tatzmiach lach, even when you're mishtadal, there's going to be many things that get in the way. Using an agricultural model, obviously, you know, the Torah wasn't talking about your stocks or your hedge fund. B'zeyas apecha tocha lechem. And then the Torah says, Hashem says, listen, this is the curse of mankind. That by the sweat of your brow, so to speak, while you're shvitzing tocha lechem, it's going to take effort for you to eat bread. It's not going to just fall into your lap anymore. Rashi says, I put in the footnote at the bottom, la'achar shetitrach bo harbe. There's going to be a lot of tircha, a lot of effort, a lot of shvitzing. Right? It's not going to be so easy. Now, the truth is, where we're going to end off today, he's going to leave us next week, if we want to pursue that piece, he's going to leave us with the question, so why is it that sometimes you see people who are really not good people, and they don't seem to be schwitzing so much? And you can see really good people who parnassa is such a struggle for them. How do we understand that? So we'll have a better understanding of even what that question is by the end of tonight. But part of the reason that there's a metzias of shtadlus is our fault. It's simply because we messed up in Gan Eden. And part of the curse of mankind is b'zeas apecha tocha lechem. Again, in varying degrees, but you have to work. To what degree you need to work, we're not going to really address tonight. In terms of the possibility of it being different, and a person's relative tzidkus making it easier or harder than we would imagine it to be, again, sometimes you have tzaddikim who have to work really hard to just make ends meet, to make a couple of bucks. And that's a hard thing to understand. But the way we'd like to imagine it, that the tzaddik has an easier time making parnasa, and the rasha has to struggle, because the rasha is the bad guy who sort of brought the world down, right? That possibility is also true and existed at least at one point in history, beyond Gan Eden. The first example that came to mind today was the man. How did the person receive their man? Right? What did the person have to do to get the man? So it's interesting. The Gemara in Yoma, in source number 3, Yoma Daf Ayin Heim and Aleph, tells us that there were really three categories of people, or three categories of ways in which a person received the man. And it's based on the Pesukim. You have a Pesuk in Bamidbar that says, Uveredes hatal ala machana laila yered haman alav. Sounds like the man landed, you know, almost on top of you. Mam is at your doorstep. You have another pasuk in Shemos Tezayin that says v'yotza am v'loktu, that the people went out to gather. So you had to at least walk outside, make a little bit of an effort. And then you have another pasuk back in Bamidbar Yud Aleph that says shatu ha'am v'loktu. Shatu sounds a little bit more schleppy. You have to wander a bit, go a little bit further out to find your mun, to find your sustenance. So the Gemara says, how did this actually work? Did it land like in your bed? You woke up in the morning and it was, you know, a nice little package at the foot of your bed. Did you have to go outside and gather the man, which is usually how we think of the man? Did a person have to really scrounge around to get the man? And the Gemara says it really depended on your relative righteousness. Tzadikim yored al pesach bateya. A tzadik woke up, and the man was sitting there on his doorstep. Beinonim yatsu velaktu. They went out to gather. Rishayim had to scrounge around to find the man. Okay, so that seems fair, again, in terms of how we would like to imagine things work. Right? That even if everyone is cursed going back to Gan Eden, but again, depending on how much I'm doing tshuva for that and trying to fix, you know, bimetake in the chet of Adam HaRishon, and I'll have to work harder or less hard in order to make things work for me. That's how we would imagine it to be. Okay? But the Chovas HaLevavos says two very interesting approaches as to why God made us, the need for Hishtadlus, whether it's a lot or whether it's a little. But the very fact that there's a need for Hishtadlus, the Chovas HaLevavos says, I want to talk about two reasons for Hishtadlus. Okay, so let's take a look at reason number one, and we'll think about it together, and then we'll look at reason number two, and we'll think about it a little bit together. We'll have a new appreciation for simply the need to work. Again, how much to work? How crazy to work? Do I take the job that means getting home that much later to make that much more money? Do I really believe my money has been determined on Rosh Hashanah? That's part of the details of the discussion. Let's get the framework first, and then we'll go from there. Okay, so the first reason why a person needs to work, let me tell you the two reasons first. One reason that a person needs to work, needs to make effort, is to test the man. Hashem wants to see how are you going to act when you are working. There are things that you don't have. You're going to want to get them. Are you going to get them in a permissible way? Or are you going to get them in a forbidden way? Are you going to get them like a mensch? Or are you going to get them like an animal? Right? It's a test. It's a test of how are you going to go about getting the things you need. That's why God, it's part of testing a person, and testing a person is part of spiritual growth. Adam was tested. Avram Avinu went through 10 tests. That's part of the way Hashem interacts with humanity. He tests you to try to build you up. Hopefully you pass the test, you become stronger, you recognize inner potential. However, whatever we've heard about why Hashem tests man, that's part of the reason Hashem makes you work. The second reason, to say it simply, is to keep you out of trouble. Too much time is not a good thing, which is an important lesson to think about in the summer. For some people where there's more free time, some more downtime, more vacation time, right? The way a person spends their free time is indicative of the type of person that they are. It says a lot about the person. And Hashem is very nervous about leaving man with too much free time, knowing that we have a curious tendency and we get ourselves into trouble. So if I'm busy working, even if it just means, you know, making money in whatever capacity I'm trying to make money, money can also get me into trouble. We saw that in the opening section of Shaar Bitachon. But at least if I'm busy, then my Yetzer Hara will cause less trouble. If I'm busy, if I have an Ehrlich profession, again, you're allowed to make money, you're allowed to be successful, try to be successful. But again, just the fact that I'm busy is good for a person. It's healthy for a human being to be busy. It's unhealthy for a person to have too much free time. Those are the two reasons why Hashem created this whole system called Hishtadlus. Okay, so now let's look at that a little bit more be'ian inside. Okay, so let's look inside. Source number four. Echad mehem, reason number one why a person needs to be mishtadel. Mipnei shechiva b'chachma b'chinas hanefesh b'avodas halokim u'v'hamroso. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood with his infinite wisdom that man needs, his soul needs to be tested to see will he do a good job in the service of Hashem in avodas halokim or hamroso, or will man rebel. Every time you put in effort, whether it's acquiring food or any other bodily need, as he's going to describe in a moment, it'll be indicative of what type of human being you are. Bachan osa b'ma shemara zemimenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, places different things before you, needs, presents you with certain needs. V'hu hatzorech v'achesron el mashu chutzla. Right, that man has needs, things that he's lacking, things that are outside of him that he desires. Namely, meichel, food, mishta, drink, malbush, clothing. How do you go about getting your clothing? What type of clothing do you feel that you need to own? Right? How big of a clothing collection do you need to have? How many pairs of shoes do you need to have? Or does your wife need to have, for that matter? Right? Uma'on, what type of house do you need to live in? Right? Mishgal, in terms of pursuing sexual intimacy. There's a way to be engaged in all of these things, beheter, and there's a way to be engaged in all of these things, beisser. There's a way to be engaged in these things in a sacred way, as a human being who has a body. Hashem gave us bodies, and therefore Hashem says you need food, and you need drink, and you need clothing, and you need intimacy, and you need a house, and you need all these things. V'tziva osam l'chazer aleim, and Hashem has commanded you to pursue these things. Libi omer li, that I need these things. I know I can't survive without these things. I've been programmed to desire these things. They're not forbidden desires. There's a kosher way to eat and a kosher way to do all these things. Lahavim b'sibos hamuchanos lahem, in order to acquire them in appropriate pathways. Al panam yuchadim v'itim yuduim. What does he mean by panam yuchadim? He means in unique ways. What does it mean, a unique way? A uniquely Jewish way. There's a uniquely Jewish way to eat. There's a Jewish way to live. There's a Jewish way to get dressed and a Jewish way to sleep. V'itim yoduim, and at proper times. I work during the 6 days of the week, and I don't work on Shabbos. It doesn't matter how much you're going to pay me. So am I prepared? Am I prepared to make those sacrifices? Am I prepared to understand what's mutter and what's aser? Husband and wife are permitted to each other sometimes. Sometimes they're not. I could be really hungry. Some food is permitted to me. Some food is not. Right? Obviously, if your life's in danger, things change. But if I'm really hungry, that's not a heter to go into a McDonald's. And that's part of the test, again, as man goes about his business trying to sustain himself and satisfy his needs, am I prepared to pass the test, so to speak, to do it in the proper way? And that which Hashem has decreed, the second little paragraph in source 4, and that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decided that I'm going to be able to get in this world, yigamer v'yishlam b'hashlamos hizdamnus hasibos. Hashem has arranged that it's possible for me to achieve it through the, again, through the permitted pathways, through the ways that are laid out before me. Vasher lo gazer lo ligamar behem. And by the way, those things that Hashem never intends for you, ligamer, to finish the process, to get, you can chase it as much as you want, you'll never get it. If Hashem doesn't want you to have it, right, and this goes back to our main theme throughout the Shar Bitachon, which is Menuchas HaNefesh. I don't have to be anxious about getting it. If I'm supposed to get it, I'm supposed to get it. If it's not meant to work out, it's not going to work out, no matter how much effort I make. So be a mensch about it. Be menschlich about how you're going to pursue it. If it's not meant to come to fruition, if I'm not meant to close the deal, then lo yigamer, then it's not going to happen. V'yimanu mimenu hasibos, and all the causes, all the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the pieces that Hashem can move to block you, will block you. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is using this to test you, to see, to analyze your Avodas Hashem, to question how often you're going to violate the rules of Avodas Hashem. B'kavanu u'b'bechira la'achas mehena milbilti ha'acheres, to see, are you going to pursue one of the proper pathways where you're going to find, you know, back doors which are not permissible. And here's an interesting point. Hashem is not only looking to, again, Hashem has decided if you're going to get it or not. So first of all, you should just calm yourself down knowing that if I'm supposed to get it, I'm going to get it. If I'm not getting the job, I'm not getting the job. So lying about my credentials is not going to help me get the job more or less. If I'm supposed to get the job, I'll get it, even if I don't even write my resume well, or if I don't have a great interview. That's the first thing. The second thing is, there's more to the choices that I'm making than just whether or not I actually get the thing that I need. So again, in this mashal, I need the job. I need the job because I need money. So in addition to the way that I'm going to act, which may or may not help me get the job, depending on Hashem's master plan, Hashem is also looking to either reward me or punish me, again, separate from the job. Do I get a check in Shemayim or do I get an X in Shemayim based on how I acted? So it could be I'm going to get the job, but I still get an X in Shemayim because I got it in a way that Hashem didn't really like. Or it could be I didn't get the job and I feel like, well, that was a failure. Right? But Hashem says, no, I'm going to give you a reward because you were menschlich about the way you went about it. So that's also part of the test, right? To see how you handle yourself in the situation. Again, it's not only going to determine whether you get those results, because the results might be independent. Hashem might decide whether or not you get the results regardless of how you act. So it's really two separate things, but it's all part of this testing of man to see how does a person go about his day in acquiring the things that he needs. I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I have emotional needs, I have physical needs. Am I going to do it with the sense of Hashem being involved? or is HaKadosh Baruch Hu thrown off to the side? Okay? That's why Hashem gave us a whole parsha called Hishtadlus. Hashem wants to see how are you going to be Mishtadel? In what way are you going to be Mishtadel? Now, this idea that he's writing at the end here, that sort of whatever is going to be is going to be, and therefore don't try to beat the system, reminds us of a very important Gemara, that as we come to the end of the calendar year, counting from Tishrei, as we move towards wrapping up Chodesh Av, Elul, we're starting to really think about Rosh Hashanah before we know it. One of the main Gemaras that we need to think about in the context of I'm going to get what I deserve, and I'm not going to make more money by trying to beat the system, is the Gemara in Beitza in source number 5. Kol mizonosav Yom Kippur, from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. Now I have to figure out what that means. From Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, 10 days. From this Rosh Hashanah to next Yom Kippur, there's like a carryover period. But let's just call it for a year. Right? It's determined for a year, kol mizonosav shel adam. How much food I'm going to have, how much money I'm going to have. Is it going to be a year of saving? Is it going to be a year of spending my savings? Is it going to be a year of financial success? Is it going to be a year of setback? Am I going to need help? Am I not going to need help? I'm going to be able to help others by giving generously to tzedakah. Whatever amount I'm set to make for this year, it's all set on Rosh Hashanah. Or let's say in that period of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Again, there's different ways to learn exactly what the Gemara is saying here. But there's a time period when it's being set. So then what am I davening for Parnassa every day? Okay, there's a lot of questions. Good questions. Okay? Chutz mehotzaos shabbosos, with the exception of Shabbos, you can spend whatever you want on Shabbos. Now this actually is a tremendous, if we want to talk about tachlis dik, bitachon muscle building 101, next time you're shopping for Shabbos, and you pick something up, right? And you're thinking like, should I buy it? It's a little expensive. Ask yourself if you believe in this Gemara. It's free. Shabbos things are free. Rav Shimshon Pinkus used to take his kids to the supermarket on Erev Shabbos and say, take whatever you want for Shabbos. It's free. It's free. Chutz mishabbosos. It's not part of your earnings for the year. Right? So you could walk into, Grand and Essex and just start fill it up, It's free. It's not going to cost you a penny. Chutz mishabbosos. Votzos yom tov. So when you have that roast in your hand, you think, like, this is expensive, but it's really good. And then you start to say, I don't really need it. You pretend like, not such a Baal Taiva. No, you're just not a Baal Bitachon. Take the roast. Go for it. It's free. It's completely free. 100% free. That's what the Gemara says. Shabbos is free. Yom Tov is free. Rav Shimshon Pinkus used to tell his kids, take whatever candy you want off the shelf for Shabbos. During the week, we're not such a wealthy family. For Shabbos, take whatever you want. That's good. Next time you go shopping with one of your children, this is a great teachable moment. What do you want to say, Dovi?
I can't. So the adults can pick whatever candy they want. The ones who don't take $100 roast.
Okay. Okay.
No limit.
Chutz. Chutz me.
Buy yourself a $200 bottle of wine.
Yeah, why not? Chavit Shabbos. Okay. So the catch might be the following. Someone was once enjoying a meal in the presence of the Chedushei Harem on Shabbos. Chedushei Harem was the first Ger Rebbe. He had a guest for Shabbos at his Shabbos Suda. He wanted to impress the Rebbe, show him how frum he was. So he was eating, and every time he took a bite, he said, L'chavit Shabbos Kodesh, L'chavit Shabbos Kodesh. So the Chedushei Harem thought, L'chavit Shabbos Kodesh. It's good food. Come on, let's be honest. You like the food. So the Chedushei Harem, in order to make a point, he took his fork and he stuck it in whatever he was eating, and he said, L'chavit mein boich. He patted himself on the stomach and he took a bite. So meaning, that could be, right? Meaning, I have to really do it for Shabbos. If I'm just using a Shabbos as an excuse to fress like an animal, so then maybe not, but maybe even yes. Chutz mishabbosos. Again, the same thing. It doesn't want to say food here. Mizonosov, again, if in a more expansive definition, means your Shabbos clothing, your Shabbos shoes, and your Shabbos everything. Okay, so if you start buying like a Shabbos house and a Shabbos car, at some point, I don't know where the line is, okay? But when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's free. Votzanos bonov l'talmud Torah. You're deciding, can we afford to send my children to yeshiva? The answer is, it's free. Okay, so go tell that the principals of all the local schools, and they'll say, right, that's why we keep raising the prices, because it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. Okay, so if you send your child to learn Torah, don't worry. You could hire the best tutors. If it's really expensive, just get your children learning, whatever, it's all free. She'im picheis poichsin lau. If you cut corners, if you try to be cheap about Shabbos, Yom Tov, and educating your children, then guess what? Hashem is going to not only will your children not have that experience, not only will your Shabbos table be diminished, right? But Hashem is going to withdraw from your overall yearly earnings. V'im hosif, and if you have an expansive trust that my spending for Shabbos is free, then mosif in law. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you for free. Okay, so that's an amazing idea. And it's a reminder, more so than the second part, the first part, that whatever I'm supposed to earn this year, I'm going to earn. So I don't need to make myself crazy. I have to do a shtadlus. That's part of the curse of b'zeas apecha toch alecha, which is why I wanted to really put that out there tonight. We have to work. How much we need to work? That's the question that's still left on the table. But to do it with yeshiva das, I'm not going to make more money by making myself more crazy. And that's really important to think about and to challenge myself to make choices in my life that reflect that reality. The Kotzker Rebbe is quoted in a sefer called Chemdas David in Parshas Vayetze. Chemdas David was the son of Yechezkel of Kuzmir, who was the founding tzaddik of the Majitz Hasidic dynasty. And Majitz is known for their Nigunim, amongst many other things. Right? But many of the Nigunim that we sing, that people don't even realize, tunes that we use in the Yom Noram davening and Kabbalah Shabbos, comes from the tzaddikim of Majitz. They were tremendous composers of Nigunim. And Majitz was founded, right? The Majitz tzaddikim came, the grandfather of that Hasidic chain was Rav Yechezkel of Kuzmir. So one of his sons was Rav David Tzvi from Neustadt, and there's a sefer called the Chemdas David, and he quotes something that he heard from the Kotzker, which I think is very interesting for those of us who live in the modern era, and we sometimes think being an Orthodox Jew in 2018 is very expensive. The Kotzker Rebbe said, you know why it's so expensive? You know why Hashem made life so expensive as you get towards the end of the days? Look what he writes here. It's fascinating. He writes in source number 6, Shamati meharav hakadosh mikotzk. I heard from the Kotzker Rebbe. Shemasha olam misnatzlim shehim bezman hazeh bali hotzos gadolos. That which people have tremendous expenses these days. Sometimes people feel that they've incurred tremendous debts. And that's sometimes just irresponsible spending. Sometimes just the reality of just trying to function, to be an Orthodox Jew, who's paying for yeshiva and paying for Jewish summer camp and paying for Shabbos Yom Tov before I knew it was free. Humipnei sheratzon habori yisbarach shemo, lios adon al hakol. Hashem says, you know what? I'm very nervous that as science advances and technology advances and the world gets smarter, it gets harder to have simple belief in God. There were tzaddikim who had a tremendous respect for America simply because the founding fathers of this country were God-fearing people. Again, it's on every dollar bill, in God we trust. It's stamped in various places throughout Washington as a reminder that everything that we're building in this country is rooted in the awareness of a God. But of course, as science progresses, and sometimes that evolves with religious doubt, because people don't know how to properly reconcile science and religion, right? As people become more skeptical of God, Hashem says, I need to make you more desperate. Because when people are desperate, they tend to turn to God. So the Kotzker Rebbe said, why did Hashem make it that people at the end of days would have tremendous burdens, financial burdens? Something that I think we all feel in some way, even if Baruch Hashem were being matzliach professionally. Shekulam yistaklu v'yavakshu v'yikovu lo. Hashem says, because I want people talking to me. I'm scared people are going to forget about me. So if I make you struggle in your parnasa, hopefully that'll inspire you to have a better Shemona Esrei once in a while. And you'll check in with me a little bit more often. We'll be in contact more regularly. V'chol masha adam nitzrach yoser. And the more a person becomes needy, whether they're real needs or self-imposed needs, because we've upped the ante on ourselves, and that's sometimes our own fault, our standards of living that we've chosen to live by. But the more desperate I become, to kind of keep up in the modern era, so hopefully, I turn to Hashem and I say, Hashem, I really need your help. It's hard. It's really hard to make it happen today. It's an amazing idea. Hashem placed financial burdens upon us so that we could be more, right? We work harder, but we're also more needy financially, and that hopefully, again, if understood properly, causes us to turn to Hashem and to long for Hashem's salvation. And we become more connected to the mitzvah of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. Hashem, I really need your help. It's hard. It's really hard to be an Orthodox Jew in 2018. It's expensive. It's really expensive to live in our community, especially if you're living, you know, in the New York, New Jersey area. It's very expensive just to pay my bills, my basic bills. It's not posh. But the Chatzis Rebbe said this is all part of Hashem's master plan, and it really goes back to something that Chovas Levavos said so many hundreds of years ago, that a shtadlus is part of Hashem's way of testing us to see to what degree we're going to keep him in the picture, to be mishtadel in an appropriate fashion, to get the things that we need. Again, we do need them, but to get them in the right way. Okay? So that's reason number one for the whole concept of hishtadlus.
Can't that correspond to the man? Isn't that
what we're mishtadel a little bit?
The sage said specifically, the man on the center is giving the man
right.
A test.
Right, the test of the man is.
And the second reason is similar to Adon Rishon, who was had nothing. Everything was done for him, isn't it? Like the midrash said, he was even fed. He didn't even need the little mishtadel to put in the food in his mouth, but he had time on his hands and ended up being down there.
Right, for sure. The whole sugya of the man is. There's a lot to think about there. There's what was the nisayon of the man and what changed when they got there to Israel. There's a beautiful Ramban. It's Chaval, because if we were off by one more week, next week, Parshas Ekev has a lot of the good Torahs about the man. But the man is very mekusher. How to deal with the man was not a pashut thing. What was the test of the man? The man was kvaldik. It tasted like whatever you wanted. You know, even the Rishon had to schlep a little bit more. But okay, their food was still literally falling out of the sky. Right? I mean, worst case scenario, so you have to walk a little bit further outside your tent to collect your man. But everyone still brought back the same Omer LeGolgolas, you know, like, at the end of the day, everyone was making the same amount of money. You had what you needed, it was kvaldik. What was the test of the man? There was a lot of different layers to what the test of the man was. Some beautiful Arachayim HaKadosh, Ramban, next week's Parsha. Okay, so that's all part of level one.
Why did Hashem give the test of the man if it already said B'zeh HaSapecha from other, I mean... Why are we getting the man, and not the testament? Why was it so
right.
easy?
So the man was part of post-Kabbalah's HaTorah. We were sort of back in Gan Eden. Even though Cheder Egel messed it up pretty quickly, right? But the Gemara says, Lo nitnu Torah el la'ochle haman. The man was part of, man was like a cleansing food for the body in order to make us spiritually worthy of Torah. But the man was an Isayon. The man was gavaldik. It was a lot of fun, you know. Man could taste like whatever you wanted it to taste like. Man was very interesting. Man was very holy. The man, Gemara says people didn't use the bathroom when they ate the man. There was no refuse. There was some amazing, really, you know, cool stuff that happened with the man. But it was an Isayon. To deal with the man properly. And that's why Klai started complaining about the man a lot. You'd think, like, what are you complaining about? But there were challenges that came with the man. Yes, Yanai.
With the cutscars, with the cutscars describing at the end,
yeah.
Here, wouldn't we say that the Chovas Levavos would say that's not bitachon?
Return to him.
And that way you expect to get answers. So if you're turning to him, he's putting you in this tough condition, and he doesn't answer you at some point, then that.
Right, that's gonna lead to distancing. Right, so it's a good question. These are both good questions. Is that going to just make the Nisayon that much harder? I mean, a little bit it goes back to last week, a little bit, just in terms of when we're desperate and we turn to Hashem, you know, how does that increase our chance of being answered or not? But I don't know, the Kotzker is sharp, I don't know. It's hard to explain the Kotzker. The Kotzker felt that Hashem doesn't want us. Again, in a certain sense, we're living in the most luxurious time ever. I was just thinking, like, and even just like taking a shower after Tisha B'Av, you know, that like first really good hot shower. It's like there was a time when people didn't have showers and like you couldn't just go to the bathroom. You had to, you know, everything was like hard. And now we have Baruch Hashem, we have lights.
There was a time
when it got dark and that was the day was over unless you sat by a candle. You know, in your freezing cold home, which you were trying to warm probably by that same candle you were reading the Sefer by. You know, it was like we're living. We got Twizzlers on the table. We're living in good times. So Hashem says, but okay, you're gonna start to drift. So Hashem said, okay, I'll give you kosher sushi and I'll give you like you know all the dips you could want for Shabbos, and you can say all the L'chav Shabbos Kodesh you want, and it's free of charge. But I'm also gonna make it very expensive to send your kids to school and to camp and to just, you know, there's going to be a certain pressure in a world that has all these advances and luxuries and opportunities. Because Hashem wants us to stay connected. And you're right, that does that increase the stress, which could, you know, which could negate my menuchas hanefesh level, which is the true indicator of my bitachon? Yeah, it could. But it also puts a pressure on me to check in with God. So, I hear. It's a good... Hopefully, if you can pass, right. But it's just another layer to the test. It's sort of like, you know, is that what we really need? More tests? And the answer is sort of yes. To force us to try to be connected. Could it push me further away when I struggle more and then I get more frustrated with Hashem? Sure. There's always that possibility. Hashem takes a lot of risks with us. Nasa Adam. That's one of the first risks God took with us. And the word Bereishis, He took a risk with us. Bereishis Bar Elokim. Right, the Gemara Megillah was a risk. But one of the first major risks God took was when He wrote in the Torah, Nasa Adam, let us make man. So the Medrash says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem, that's crazy. Let us make man? You're setting people up to believe in multiple gods. So Hashem says, I have many explanations of what I meant by Na'aseh Adam. You know, like Rashi, Hashem is trying to express humility. He took the counsel of the angels, not trying to imply that anyone else is truly a partner with me in creation. Hashem has the final say. Hashem is the one true God. He's teaching us a lesson in humility. But Moshe says, Na'aseh Adam, let us, people are going to say us. There's an us. There's like a whole council of gods. He's going to turn into Greek mythology. To which Hashem says back to Moshe in the Medrash, the people who want to mess up are going to mess up. The people who want to get what I'm trying to do are going to get what I'm trying to do. It's such an important medrash. Because anytime Hashem tests us, you could use it as an opportunity to grow or an opportunity to say, Hashem, yeah, you just proved further how much I hate you. So it's a question of how we respond. That's the biggest gift or weapon that God gave us, free will. Every time, you know, we're in a difficult situation, we could choose to be big and grow. We could choose to be small and you know, move apart from Hashem. So that's part of the Nisar. Okay, so that's reason number one for the world of Ishtadlis. What's the second reason for Ishtadlis? I told you to keep us out of trouble. So let's see that inside, in source number 7. Vasheni, and the second primary reason as to why Hashem made it that man needs to put in effort to get his needs, ki ilu lo hutzrecha adam litroach ulechazer ulesab... If man would not need to make effort and to run around and to, again, keep the wheels spinning to acquire his sustenance, hayaboit, literally he would kick, he would rebel, verodef achar averos, he'd become rebellious. If life was too easy, if Hashem always just gave us what we needed, right? The same way, God, you're our parent. Parents try to provide for their kids. I don't tell my kids to pay their own tuition. I don't make my kids pay for their own clothing. I don't give my children the bills from the supermarket. So why does Hashem make us pay the bills? So there's a danger. The danger is that if we're not properly busy, right, there's going to be a lot of time for rebellion. There's going to be a lot of time for chasing after sinful desires. V'lo hayimashkiach hamashu chayev bo al tova selokim alav. And I wouldn't be able to properly allocate time to the service of Hashem, to be properly connected to Hashem. Hashem wants us to be really tired at the end of the day, to push ourselves to go to the base, medrash for like a half hour, you know, or get up early in the morning and try to learn a little daf yomi, make a minyan 3 times a day, and fall asleep at night, exhausted. Because that'll keep you pretty safe. If you believe in a little bit of Torah and a little bit of tefillah you did every day, and you believe that I went to work so I could raise a Jewish family, and I'm too tired to party with my Yetzer Hara, then, you know, at the end of 120 years, I'll have a lot of mitzvahs, even if I was a pretty exhausted Jew throughout my lifetime. But I'll have, you know, I've collected my mitzvahs along the way. I've kept myself mostly out of trouble by going to work every day. And, you know, more or less, I'm a success. Right? I'm more or less a success. Okay? He quotes a couple of psukim that I took out for a moment. Let's see what he says. Mishnah says in Avos, Yofe Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. Chazal tell us, Yofe Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. It's good for a person to learn Torah along with Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz in this context does not mean have good midos. The Pasha Pshat, according to most Rishonim, means Derech Eretz, the way of the world. Meaning, balance my spiritual pursuits and my mundane pursuits, have a job, go get a job, shiagias shneyem mishkachas avon. Because by being properly involved in spiritual things and having a full day of whatever, clients, patients, whatever I do professionally, students, whoever, whatever I'm doing, whatever, wherever I'm involved in my, you know, my parnasa, it takes up my energies, and then it causes me to have no time to sit. I'm too busy to sit. V'chol Torah she'eini ma'malacha sofa b'teilev gereres avon. Chazal are pretty clear here. A person who says, I'm just going to learn Torah. You're not just going to learn Torah. If a person thinks I'm just going to learn Torah all day, you're going to need breaks. And if I don't fill those breaks with making a living, so I'm going to fill those breaks with doing other things which are going to get me into trouble. So therefore, any Torah learning that's not coupled with a job, work, olam hazeh work, sofa b'teila, in the end my Torah is going to lead to batala. Not that I'll stop learning permanently, but there's going to be times where I'm burnt out from learning, and I'm too frum to have like a mundane job. So I end up, you know, hacking around my Yetzirah, and that's not a good idea. Okay, goreres avon, it causes sin. V'chol shekein misha ein lo chelek ba'achas man. So all the more so, if I don't have spiritual aspirations, if I'm not busy spiritually, and I'm not busy, in work, v'lo sam libo achas mehen, and I'm not dedicated to either of them, then I'm really in trouble. But the Chovas Levavos is saying that Hashem wants people to be busy. So if you feel like life is always so busy, don't feel bad. And don't complain so much, because that's how God wants it to be. Hashem wants us to be busy. V'haya mechemlas habore yisala la'adam. You hear this? Chemla. It was a kindness. It was a rachmanis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make life so busy. She'itrido b'inyane olamo v'achriso. L'is'ase kol yimei chayav b'zeh. God made life hard in this world. God made life busy in this world. You know why? It's a gift that He gave us. People always think, oh, I wish I could just, you know, make a lot of money and retire early. Not so pasha. What do I do with my time after I retire early? Sometimes I wish I had that simple, you know, responsibility of going to work every day, because I literally don't know what to do with all my free time. It's unbelievable. Read the studies as life got more convenient. Compare the rising crime rate. Try to understand the cause and effect relationship between the rising crime rate in the world and in America and the conveniences of life. Rav Palm once gave a shmooze, Parshas Noach, in like the 1980s about this topic. Rav Palm described as a child being able to walk in certain parts of New York, and he felt perfectly safe in the streets. And he felt this because there was a work ethic that people had, and like no one had time to cause trouble. But once life became more convenient, people started just finding more ways to get themselves into trouble. And he shows that statistically, that's a reality. There's a reality of having free time is a very dangerous thing for a human being. V'lo yivakish masha ein tzarech lo. By being properly busy, I don't have time to pursue things that I don't need. I'm so busy just trying to make a living that I don't have time to get caught up in silliness, pursuing things that I don't really need. And I can't allow my mind to wander into areas that it shouldn't wander. And he's not talking about immoral thoughts. He's talking about philosophical thoughts that we're not supposed to think about. The Mishnah in the second parak of Chagiga, the opening Mishnah, tells us a person's not supposed to spend time meditating. Well, what was before the world? What's going to be after this world? And who made God God? There's questions that we're not supposed to ask because we'll go... Well, a person who has too much free time is going to sit around, you know, philosophizing. He's going to be philosophizing about things that really have no answer and beyond human comprehension. And the Torah doesn't want us thinking about those things because it's not healthy for us to contemplate things that we're not programmed to understand. So we end up getting ourselves into trouble, pursuing all sorts of luxuries because I have too much money and too much time. Or I start thinking about things and making up, all sorts of falsified religious constructs and philosophies. I start thinking about what preceded the world, what's after the world, and I get myself into a lot of trouble in that way. Okay? So this is the second reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made life very, very busy. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, in source number 8, that the Dor HaMabel, do you know why Noach was called Noach? You know why the Medrash says Noach was called Noach? What does the Pasuk say in Noach? Or really at the end of Bereishis? Ze yinachameinu me'itzvon yadeinu. Right? Noach is going to save us from some of the hardship of our hands. V'zeyas apecha tocha lechem. It's really hard to make a living. The curse of Adam Rishon, when Noah was born, you know, was created at that time, whether it was Noah who created it or was created around that same time period, and Noah's name and his birth reflected it, you know what was created for the first time? Tools. Farming tools. Made life easier. Noah, finally we're going to get to rest a little bit. But you know what happened? Because people, the world had more free time. We slowly decayed and became a corrupt society, which led to the greatest destruction of humanity in world history, the Dor HaMabul. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that's the backstory that I just told you in the Medrash, Tanhuma, but the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, source number 8, Dor HaMabul lo nizga'u, the Dor HaMabul became gaivadik, bishvil tova shishpi alam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Hashem was good to them. They had too much everything and it got them into trouble. What an amazing thing to think about. And one of the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the world is something called Shemitah. Hashem gave us Shemitah. Right? What's so great about Shemitah? Well, it's first of all, it gives us a chance to, again, to test and to stretch our bitachon muscles. Okay, it's a good thing to work on one's bitachon. It also gives farmers a chance to take a break from farming and to spend time learning Torah. There was a big question in early parts of the settling of the land of Israel to what degree we can use certain loopholes with regard to Shemitah. Right? Questions that are still discussed today, big halachic shailas, in terms of different ways of trying to circumvent Shemitah. Right? The Torah gives us a promise. What do you mean? Why are we trying to circumvent Shemitah? Right? Is it irresponsible to have Shemitah? Shemitah d'araisa, Shemitah d'rabbanan. There's a lot of halachic considerations. When is Shemitah in effect? And to what degrees can you use certain loopholes using non-Jews and using our Arab neighbors, etc., etc., etc.? And many, many different shitas that the tzaddikim, the gedolim of Europe had to try to figure out, as Eretz Yisrael was being revived and being reestablished and resettled, to what degree can we rely on these loopholes, to what degree should we not rely on these loopholes. The Netziv penned a famous tshuva, where he talks about the Heter Mechira. And the Netziv, from Volozhin, in his Meshev Davar, in source number 9, writes a very interesting thing. The Netziv writes very strongly how we shouldn't rely on all these various Heterim, that, again, they're a big gedol. Everyone, like, you know, likes to pin it on Rav Kook. Like as if Rav Kook was the only Mekel. There were plenty of Gedolim throughout Europe. My big, very big poskim who were also amongst the Mekelim. But the people who don't like Rav Kook always try to make Rav Kook, you know, as being different. Ki'ilu, he was like a Das Yachar on this whole discussion. But the Netziv was pretty strong about not relying on certain Heterim. And then the Netziv says, you know what I'm really worried about though? I'm not worried. In terms of the halacha, I think I have a clear halachic picture. In terms of Hashem providing the bracha, well, that's on God. God's going to provide the bracha. Hashem's going to make sure that the economy doesn't collapse. You know what I'm worried about? I'm worried we don't have a good infrastructure for the farmers to use their time during the Shemitah year. So then it's right. Look at this. It's amazing. Achein yoser me'asher alinu lachush ulevatel. You see where we are in verse number 9? Achein yoser me'asher alinu lachush lebitul hayishuv ayidei heder avodas haaretz b'shana achas. More than I'm worried about destroying the settlements in Israel by taking off from plowing and farming for a year, I'm nervous for the people. Do you know what trouble people can get themselves into by not working for a year? Do you know how far a person could stray by taking a year off? We need to have a system. We need to have good kolalim. We need to have good educators. We need to have meaningful Torah content for the farmers, so that they can stay connected. I'm nervous for the kilkul of the Yoshvei Haaretz. Asher yu holche batel. People are going to be wandering around aimlessly. Mikol avoda basalde b'shana shleimer for an entire year. Ubatala mivia lidei shiamu. That's a mission in Ksubis. Batala leads, too much free time, nothing to do, leads to boredom. That's one mission in Ksubis. It's talking about a woman who's very wealthy, or her husband's very wealthy, their family's very wealthy. There are certain basic obligations that a woman has to provide in running her own home, even if she has all the cleaning help in the world. Because if she has too much free time, Mrs. So-and-so is going to get herself into a lot of trouble. Too much free time is bad for anyone, for a man, for a woman. It's just a bad thing. It's bad for our kids. It's bad for our adults. It's bad. If you have free time, then it leads to boredom. And you know what boredom leads to? The Gemara says, the Mishnah says in Ksubis, in a different Mishnah, boredom leads to arayos. So if Mrs. So-and-so has nothing to do around the house and her husband's, you know, not around, she's going to look for trouble. And God forbid, she's going to get into real serious trouble, real stuff. Okay? So therefore, says the Nitziv, I don't want a bunch of bored farmers wandering around there at Yisrael. And he writes in his tshuva, he calls on the leaders of the generation to provide proper Torah programming to help the farmers have a meaningful year. He says, I'm more worried about the farmers not going off the derech than I am about the economy collapsing. It's an amazing insight from the Nitziv. Okay? Last piece for tonight. Concludes the Chovos HaLevavos, at least for tonight. What happens, and again, you'll see how this leads into the question that I mentioned before, why do tzaddikim sometimes work so hard to make ends meet? Right? The Chovos HaLevavos says, let's think about this for a second. We explained tonight that Hashem created the Shtadlis for two reasons. One, to test people, and secondly, to keep people out of trouble. What if I don't need to be tested? And what if I'm the type of person who's not going to get into trouble? So will that lower my needs when it comes to shtadlus? So says the Chovos HaLevavos, seemingly yes. Source number 10. Ve'im hu magbir avodas halokim. If you're the type of person who's very proactive, who's very successful, who's a real gibor in avodas Hashem, uvocher b'yiraso, and you're exceedingly God-fearing, uvoteach bo b'inyanei toraso v'olamo, and you're constantly properly engaged in Torah and Torah world pursuits, Visar minavar hamugunim, and you're not the type of person who, even if you had free time, is going to get into trouble. V'chosef lemidos hatovos, and you're a person of refined character. Lo yivat b'menucha, and you're not the type of person who's going to rebel against God just by having free time. V'lo yita el hashalva, and you're not inclined to take advantage, again, of having too much rest. V'lo yisieyu hayetzer, and the yetzer is not going to start up with you. V'lo yipas b'kishvei haolam. And you're not going to get caught up in the nonsense or the false philosophies of the world. Yistalek me'alav. Look what he writes here. And again, you might say, my life's experience proves otherwise. And if it's not my own life experience, it's my assessment of others proves otherwise. Seemingly, says the Chovos HaLevavos, if you're a really good guy, yistalek me'alav Torah ha-gilgol va'vavavas tarpo. God will remove from you the burdensome nature of acquiring your parnasa. Hashem will make it easier for you. The man will fall on your doorstep. Going back to the Gemara and Yom Daf Ayin Hay. If you're a Rasha, you're a little harder because too much free time is more trouble. If you're a Tzaddik, Hashem is definitely giving you more free time because you'll fill that time with meaningful content of life. And therefore, Hashem will, again, a person who meets the general spiritual outlook, Hashem will remove from you the burdensome nature of making a living because these two reasons we explained don't apply to you, namely habachina, the need to be tested. You don't need to be tested. You're maximizing your potential without being challenged. Vabi'ita betova, and the rebellious nature of having too much free time doesn't apply to you as well. Vivo ehu tarfo b'li torach u'v'li yagia, and therefore God will supply you with your needs without tremendous effort. Kafi sipuko umizono, in accordance with your need. As the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Lo Yariv Hashem Nefesh Tzaddik. Hashem does not make the Tzaddik hunger, which means he doesn't leave the Tzaddik wanting, and because the Tzaddik doesn't have these wants and these needs, he doesn't have to run around like the rest of us trying to put it together. Which leads into the question next time, so why do we see some really very fine people by our own assessment? And we don't feel comfortable saying that these people who are working so hard, it must be that like Bitsina, they're the biggest Rasham in the world. They look like the greatest tzaddikim in every bit of our interaction with them, right? But maybe like when they close the door at night, they must be really horrible people, and that's why they're never able to make it, you know, financially. We don't feel comfortable with that answer. There are people who we say, this person's a mamash tzaddik, and yet they're struggling. How does that make sense? Hishtadlis is to keep people out of trouble. Hishtadlis is to test people to help them maximize their potential. This person is not getting in trouble, and he's maximizing his potential. Why is he struggling? Okay, so maybe that'll be next week's topic. Okay, yeah. Closing comments.
Is this tracking here? Is it like innate gift that Hashem is giving somebody, or they earned it to the point now where they don't have to look for
it? Right. So I would imagine, listen, there is a concept that people are born at different levels of neshama. Right? So there are tzaddikim, or at least there's a perception of tzaddikim. Some of it's not true. Some of it's that tzaddikim work harder than we imagine. They became the people that they are. But there's no question that certain tzaddikim are born with a certain, you know, Rashi says, when Moshe was born, the house was lit up with light. The place was glowing. Right? Most babies that are born don't fill the room with light. Not a physical light nor a spiritual light. There were people who, you know, there was a certain tzidkus that was identified when they were 2 weeks old. So, yes, there are tzaddikim, I guess, who are born with certain kochos hanefesh. But I think also, more practically for us, I think there are degrees of, you know, earning it. So the more you show that I use my time well, and the more you show that I'm maximizing my potential, I don't need to be challenged to bring out my potential, hopefully Hashem makes it easier for me. But there's always competing factors, which is why sometimes you feel like I'm doing everything right and Hashem is still making it hard for me to make a living. And, you know, at the end of the day, lo machshu asai machshu aseicha, we don't know how Hashem runs the world. But we're trying to understand. All right? Shkoyach. Thank you everyone for coming.